let's bring on my next guest. Okay, so it's Joe Cross, and Joe Cross is a filmmaker, entrepreneur, author, and wellness advocate. He directed, produced, and was the subject of the award-winning documentary Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. I'm having a party, by the way, everybody. It's my seventh year here on It's All About Food. Today is my anniversary, so let's just keep celebrating and talk. I'm going to continue more about Joe here. This movie, Fat, Sick, Nearly Dead, was seen by more than 21 million people around the world. And the popular sequel, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead 2, authored the New York Times bestseller, The Reboot, with Joe Juice Diet Book, which has been released globally in multiple languages and is credited with having accelerated the plant-based eating movement by media outlets, including The Wall Street Journal, The Times of London, and The Dr. Oz Show. His website, rebootwithjoe.com, has become an integral meeting place for a community of more than 1.5 million rebooters worldwide. Woohoo! And today we're going to be talking about his new film, The Kids Menu. Joe Cross, welcome to It's All About Food.
Hey, Karen. Nice to be on the show, and happy anniversary.
Thank you. Well, it's been 7 years, and, you know, 5 years ago I had you on this program. I was not as seasoned as I am today. And we talked about your first film. And I have all of my programs for the last 7 years archived at my nonprofit website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. And yours is one of the top five that people continue to listen to. So thank you for that.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
It is great. Awesome. Yes.
Well, must have been a good chat we had.
I think it was a great chat. Anyway, but you have a great message.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, well, I'm trying my best. You know, it's not easy to get the word out, but I think if you can create content that inspires, educates, but above all entertains, then that's you're a long way there. You know,
trying to get that word out there. Okay, it's been 5 years since we spoke last. So can you just give us all a brief update about what's gone on in the last 5 years? Before we talk about the movie?
I had no idea about, you know, what was going to come after this movie, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, you know, launched. It's been a surprise to me more than probably anyone, that there's been such a huge, demand, a huge following, just as many people are watching it. I mean, I go to my Twitter feed, you know, I was just on it before, just posting out about this show, and there's already, four or five messages in the last 7 hours, 5-6 hours of people that have watched the movie just last night for the first time and how it's going to change their life, or people on day 20 of a reboot or day 10 of a reboot of changing their life via plants and, you know, predominantly starting with juice. So I made a second film, which is really a follow-up to the first film, which was to give a 3-year update as to what's going on, people from the first movie, and also what's happened with respect to how important community is to make change.
Mm-hmm.
And that second film is very much about how this is such a difficult thing for us to all do, that make these changes, that just wanting to make change, while it's a great place to start, you know, there's lots of other factors that you need to take into consideration in terms of making sure those changes can be more permanent or be more lasting or be more effective, if you like. And what we found is that those who do things together and are in a support network, and have community around them, they're far more successful than those that don't. And so we featured that in our second film, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead 2. And both these films, by the way, are on Netflix now for anyone listening. They can watch both of these films on Netflix. And so what we found in that second movie was we did a little scene there with a bunch of kids juicing, and that was a real sort of favorite spot, like in our data and all the people that were chatting. And whenever I did a public appearance on juicing or doing a talk or a book tour, you know, I always got questions, Karen, from the audience. What about the kids, Joe? What are we about the kids? What can we do about the next generation? So we thought that about 18 months ago when we sat down to work on our next project, which is the movie, which is just being about to be released on iTunes in about 10 days' time, but The Kids Menu, we thought that was the logical place to go, which is, you know, we all know that there's a big problem with childhood obesity. I mean, you have to be living under a rock the last 15 years not to know about it. But, you know, what's been done? And rather than pointing out the problem of how, you know, bad things are, what we wanted to do was to perhaps shine some light on just the amazing grassroots activist things that are going on and that are happening. And so we went out and we, look, by the way, I'm sure there's many more than what we covered, but we did our best to give a sort of a broad view of what's happening in the US, predominantly the US, because, you know, I didn't have the budget to go to Australia or to the UK or France where I wanted to go and see what else is happening globally.
Okay, I was wondering about that. I did see the film, The Kids Menu, and you had mentioned in the beginning that, you know, you were acknowledging all the issues around the world, but the story was focused on the United States, and I thought, well, we have to hear about the rest of the world. But
yeah,
that takes money, doesn't it?
Unfortunately, the budget, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I'm an independent. I fund the films myself, so it just costs a lot of money to go to other countries. And so, look, it's a pity because, you know, I wish we could do more. But what we thought we would do is at least show what's going on in the U.S. And given that you've seen the film, I mean, you know what I'm talking about in terms of that.
And I want to bring up some of the things that I liked in the film in just a moment. But I agree with you. Community is really important. What's frustrating to me is I've been trying to promote a healthy plant-based diet with different organizations and activism probably over 3 decades. And, you know, a lot of people appreciate the information. Some people get it, but it is so slow. And there are so many things in our system today that just work against us. And the solutions are really simple, and the benefits are huge, and you just want to get healthy plant foods in people's mouths. And the kids, when they understand it, they get it. It's – anyway, so this film is very important. And
So, I mean, on your point there, I understand your frustration, and I get that because I speak to lots of people that are like you that are out there doing their best to spread the word. I think what I've learned in doing this for the last, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for nearly 10 years, but really only on the public sort of front for when my first movie launched, which was July 2011. So it's coming up to a 5-year anniversary. So let's say I've been on the road for 5 years around the world talking about this subject. You know, I find that probably the most dangerous place to be in the world is between someone's hand and their mouth, Karen. it's a very dangerous place to be. And I think there is a real skill in terms of the way people with knowledge who are passionate about something communicate the message in their choice of words and the way they share their message. And I've met some people who are so passionate about this who have all the great ideas, who just want to make a difference, but their delivery falls on deaf ears because it sounds like they are telling people, and they're like ordering. They're trying to get things done that just put people off. And so even though it's a great message, so I think that what I have found the most effective way of creating change is actually to come from this angle of not telling, but to show and to just do. And to actually lead by example. And I have found that for all the people that I've seen that have been most effective, all the things that I've witnessed, that really does have the most power.
Be the change you want to see, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I know that's what you do. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's just an interesting observation from the road because I do meet so many mothers and so many fathers and so many passionate people that are just want to see this all happen tomorrow. And you and I both know that the world is set up against us from the big money out there in food, in pharmaceuticals, in just the whole way that the industry is set up. You know, these are huge hurdles to overcome, and it's not going to happen overnight, but I'm confident that over time it will happen.
Okay, let's talk about some of the things that you highlight in your film that have worked and are helping make the change. So one of the things you talk about is smart swaps, where you replace processed food with better whole plant food choices. How does that work, smart swaps?
Yeah, so just a caveat. These are things that we got people who were using to work. So in this particular film, this wasn't really Joe's ideas. Probably our first two movies were, I made a bit of a shift here to be like, more like the reporter kind of on the journey. So So that was smart swaps that were coming from a high school teacher in, you call it secondary, what do you call the middle school, right? Middle school.
Yeah, teacher. I call it junior high school out west. I think they call it middle school, yeah.
Right. So that was a middle school teacher, and she was not able to teach nutrition in her class. So what she decided to do was in a maths class, when she had to teach about percentages, and she would bring in nutrition discussion in terms of a percentage, like how much a percentage should you have of this or of that. And so what she was doing was she incorporated this idea of smart swaps in percentages. So get kids to think about maths, but to incorporate, hey, you know, instead of having a teeter tot, maybe we can have some hummus. Instead of having something like a Oreo, maybe we can bring in some carrots. And we don't need to do it all the time, but every now and then it would be fun at your habitual things, like at 5 o'clock or at 11 o'clock, when you normally have this, you switch that out. And that was where, that's where I think that teacher, was coming from in that point in the film.
Well, I love the idea of using the subject of food to teach the standards, math and history and science.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Anthony Ademas.
Yes, I do know that name.
Yeah, so about 20 years ago now, I think, she put out a 24-week curriculum, and it was groundbreaking, and I'm sorry to say that it's not in all the schools today. But what she did was she put together a 24-week curriculum to fit into the regular school plan using math examples and history and science. And then she put recipes together that used the USDA commodity foods that are approved to be used in the school lunch program, and put healthy recipes together that kids could make in the classroom. And she had tremendous success with it, but, you know, it just didn't hit everywhere.
Yeah, look, and you know, it's a real shame that those sorts of things weren't brought in 20 years ago, because
look at us today. Yeah.
We predominantly identified three main areas of concern, Karen, that we saw. And they were, number one was this knowledge of what to eat and how to eat it, like how to prepare it, how to cook it. That was like number one. Number two was the access to mm-hmm. these types of foods. And number three were the healthy role models, if you like people within their own community of kids that they could look up to, whether it was mum or dad, whether it was an older brother or an older sister, whether it was some sports star or celebrity that kids looked up to. And having those role models, having the access, and then the education to not only know what to eat but how to eat it, we found that those three hurdles were probably the biggest things we need to overcome if we're gonna win this battle.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I remember when I was in junior high school or middle school or whatever you want to call it, we had something called home economics. And the girls had to take it. I don't know why the girls took it separately from the boys, but the boys took shop, which I really wanted to take. And the girls took home ec, and we swapped. Only the girls had home ec longer, and boys had shop longer. But everybody got a taste of everything. And we didn't make the healthiest food in home economics. I remember we made a pound cake, which was full of eggs and butter, a disaster, and white flour food. But at least we were making something and learning what was in the foods. It was really important. And, you know, the schools have cut back so much that they can't offer home economics, which they really should, and shop, which they really should, and the arts, which they really should. And, you know, it gets the, you pointed out in the film that the schools are overstressed and they have economic challenges, and to add one more thing, nutrition, how do we do that?
Yeah, so, you know, look, I think that the one of the things that I think is interesting in this school system is that I actually find it quite hard to believe that we are spending time on algebra and integration and differentiation and, you know, certain aspects of the curriculum when kids are leaving, not understanding that the fact that fruits and vegetables come from the ground and what the value of the plants are and how to prepare them. You know, I have met, I don't know about you, Cam, but I have met so many people that have this incredible passion and intention to really want to try and improve their diet by eating more whole foods. But they go into the market, they go to a farmer's market, they go into the supermarket, they go to where the produce is, and as soon as they get there, they're just, it's like trying to read Chinese when they're English. They just don't know what to do, Karen.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do it. And you and I both know that if you don't make food that's going to be tasty, your family members, your kids, your loved ones are not going to eat it. So this idea of educating people how to prepare plant-based meals. And by the way, I'm not someone who's sitting here advocating that everyone needs to be only eating plant-based food. I'm a big fan of people enjoying their life and having what I call fun foods when they've earned their foods by having the essential foods. And I put the plant-based group in the essential, and I put the processed and the animal product in the fun. And I'm a big believer that people should choose to do how much fun and how much essential themselves, and that's their choice. So this idea of knowing what to do with the essential foods, this is the biggest hurdle that I found making this movie. Just how many people are not confident of being able to make a great plant-based meal that's tasty. You and I both know, Karen, that you've got enough friends, and so do I. And I'm sure the way you cook is amazing.
You're correct. The way I cook is amazing, and I've got hundreds of recipes on my website. Yes.
Yeah, and I'm sure
and everybody's afraid to invite me over for dinner because I intimidate them.
Well, I'm sure that if I could bring any family in America to your house tonight for dinner, and they would love you served up.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say before that the solutions are so simple, that's an example of something being very simple that if you have the knowledge, if you have the confidence to be in your own kitchen and prepare that meal and 40 or 50 others like it throughout a year, then you're right. It is. Assuming that people can get the access and assuming that they have the funds. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you map all that together, you can get massive change. So I'm a big believer, you know, everybody I've met, I've never met anyone who doesn't know that fruits and vegetables are good for them. I've never met anyone who doesn't know. So the knowing isn't the problem, it's the doing. And that's the bridge that's the gap we've got to bridge and close up.
Okay. In this film, The Kids Menu, you show a lot of different activities that are going on. Like you said, you acted like a journalist and pointed out many wonderful things that people in communities are doing and what their solutions are. Farmers markets, rooftop gardens, school garden projects, teaching gardens. Again, you can't just grow the food. You have to know what to do with it and know how to make it. But sometimes when you grow it, that gives you even more motivation to want to know how to prepare it, because it's such – I think it's in our DNA. Growing food is just so thrilling.
Yeah, and the thing that's quite evident to me is that kids, and I'm now talking about kids because that's what we focused on, kids that are involved in the growing part, like putting the seeds in, doing the watering, actually nurturing, caring for it, and then harvesting those veggies, then taking them inside and knowing whether to put them into a blender or through a juicer or to saute them or to chop them. And that gold, that connection between their food and that nurturing, that is gold. So this investment in, now let's take it one step back. You don't have to grow it. You can take your kids down to the farmer's market, meet the farmers, talk about the farmers, maybe do a visit, maybe go to a visit to a farm, organize a visit. Then have the kids choose things that are going to be fun to sort of or buy at the market, and then go on YouTube. I mean, what kid doesn't know how to use YouTube, or go to your site or wherever and find some recipes and make it fun, make it inclusive, get the kids involved. That just seems to me to be one of the huge keys. Make it a fun event. Don't make it a healthy thing. Don't talk about it being good versus bad. Don't put it in this category where, you know, oh, this is good for you, you have to do this, and that you lose the fun. It has to be fun. It has to be exciting. It has to be interesting. Like, here's something we're going to try and do. For the next week, we're going to try and live just on plants like we did 1,000 years ago. Let's make it fun. Let's, you know. So this is the sort of way to engage the kids, in my humble opinion, of what I learned for the 18 months.
You know, there are some statistics that are coming out that talk about life expectancy, and some people have been reporting that the life expectancy is going to start going down with the next generation because our children are so unhealthy.
Yeah.
And this is, and it's just devastating. And I think we're starting to see it. We're seeing some celebrities die in their 60s. And I know family and friends, they're all experiencing some major health crisis right now. This is something that needs to change, and it needs to change today with our children.
Yeah, so Karen, here's some interesting data points for you on that. In the US, and I can talk about Australia, but, you know, I spend most of my time here, so the US being the largest economy in the world is probably the best one to focus on. You have a healthcare bill coming this year. Now, what I mean, I don't mean like in front of the Senate. I mean a bill as in the total cost of all healthcare spend in the United States for 2016 is going to be in the ballpark of $3.3 trillion. That's the amount of money spent on healthcare. Okay? That's $10,000 for every single person, man, woman, and child in the country. That's just a spend for a 12-month period.
Wow.
This is 17 to 18% of the total GDP of the economy. This is unsustainable. You have 23 million people with type 2 diabetes. You have a further 90 million that are just one step away by the what's called pre-diabetic. In other words, their blood sugar is right at that cusp of just going over. When people understand this terrible, you know, illness of diabetes type 2 and what that can do in terms of loss of limbs, blindness. Anyone who's living with this knows just how frustrating it is. I mean, I tell people who've got it that it is possible that they can look at their diet and they may be lucky enough to be in the majority, which is that you can reverse it and get off the medicine and actually reverse diabetes with a plant-based diet. People are still shocked to hear that.
I know.
But the reality what we're dealing with here is that forget about the life expectancy of the kids. I mean, that's a big point. But you know what? Let's talk about the actual quality of life they're going to have as opposed to just when they're going to die. I mean, let's talk about the average healthy life expectancy of an American today. An average healthy life expectancy of a male and a woman today is in their mid-60s in this country. In other words, you know, you're going to get to the mid-60 years of age, living in 2016, and you're going to be on medication with a chronic illness. I mean, this is insanity.
Yeah,
70%
yep.
of the diseases that we have today are caused by ourselves, our lifestyle choices. And that's whether you smoke or not, what you eat and drink, how much exercise you do or don't do, what your sleep is like, how connected you are in the community, and how you manage your stress levels. They're the big six factors. And so we have this is something that's going to break the bank. You know, I follow US politics. I follow what's going on, and I haven't heard a single candidate talk about this particular issue, which, you know, I know that terrorism is a big issue. I understand that. I mean, I know that people are suffering, and we've lost some people today in parts of the world, and it's tragic. But I tell you what, the amount of people that we're losing because of our own lifestyle choices when it comes to chronic disease and illness and heart disease and cancer and stroke and diabetes and emphysema. I mean, these numbers dwarf any numbers that happen in any other cause of death in the world.
We should be calling it domestic terrorism.
Well, we are, but we're doing it to ourselves.
And yeah.
So
child abuse.
Why, and because of what I'm stating here now, because I've got into the numbers, we're actually talking about money, Karen, and that's why I'm optimistic. Because once it comes down to dollars,
yes.
That's when the lawmakers need to find a solution, because that's what affects them. That's what affects them. And until you can find something that affects them, You won't get anything done at the top end of town, but you get a lot done at the bottom end, the grassroots. And that's what we tried to show in the kids menu about how effective just people at their homes, in their communities, at their schools, what they're doing and how amazing things are happening.
Okay, Joe, just let us know where we can see the kids menu, where we can find it, because everybody needs to see it.
Sure. Well, it's going to be on iTunes. It releases on iTunes on April 1. I mean, I'm touring just, I've got three more cities to go. I'm in Philadelphia tonight. I'm in Boston tomorrow night. I'm in New York City on Thursday night. And they can go to thekidsmenumovie.com and they can see those touring dates and see how they can buy a ticket and come along, and I'll be doing a Q&A after each screening. And then after that, it's going to be on iTunes. And then Netflix will be later in the year. And so that we're excited because kids are coming to this movie. That's the great thing about the movie, or the tour I've been on, is that kids as young as 7 and 8 are loving this movie. And that's something that brings a big, big smile on my face. The fact that 10-year-olds are actually really sitting through the 85-minute movie and loving it.
Right. Excellent. Well, Joe, you're making a powerful difference for all life on Earth. Thank you for that, and all the best with the kids menu.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks for joining me, and it's All About Food, Joe Cross. Very good. Well, we just have a few minutes left, and I hope you all come out and see the kids menu very soon. I thought it was a pretty good, engaging film, and get you inspired in one way or another in your community to go to farmers markets, plant gardens, teach about healthy food, get your kids in the kitchen, find the kitchen yourself, please. And if you find vegetables in the farmers market or in the produce section and you don't know what they are and you don't know what to do with them, take a picture of them and email me at info@realmeals.org and I'll send you some recipes. How's that? Is that a plan? We all need to be helping each other because it's affecting everything on light. Everything on Earth, all life itself. I just wanted to mention a few things that came out recently in the PNAS.org, which stands for, oh, gosh. I always look at PNAS, and who knows what it stands for. Anyway. They have a brand new article out, which is outstanding, and a lot of media outlets have been spinning stories on the PNAS article. It's called Analysis and Valuation of the Health and Climate Change Co-Benefits of Dietary Change. This is a beautiful article. You can go to PNAS.org and download it. I recommend it. They have some great graphics where they show the difference between the standard American diet, vegetarian diets, and vegan diets in terms of deaths avoided and in terms of change in greenhouse gas emissions. And the vegan diet is like above and beyond the winner in under every category all around the world. They show the world. They show developed countries, developing countries, Western and high income and middle income and Latin America, all over the world, and the vegan diet wins out everywhere. And it goes into great detail, and it's a wonderful study. There have been other studies, and here's just one more reason, and it's connecting health and climate change. And there is no bad reason to eat a plant-based diet. It's all bonus. It's all good. The last thing I wanted to talk about is broccoli. Kind of frustrating to me when I see some scientific experiments come out. Oh, I just have 1 minute. I got to talk really fast. But it was in the the Washington Post, I think. Anyway, it was an article about some studies done on rabbits eating broccoli and showing that it reduced arteriosclerosis and that this component, sulforaphane, in broccoli can really help. Now, we know broccoli is really healthy, but something that Dr. Michael Greger pointed out recently in his How Not to Die book is that these vegetables like broccoli have this component, sulforaphane, but if we cut and cook the vegetable right away, it doesn't create this powerful anti-cancer nutrient. What we have to do is chop the food and leave it for at least 45 minutes before cooking, or eat it raw, or sprinkle mustard powder on it. And this was fascinating information. And so when I see studies showing the effects of broccoli on rabbits and they don't realize these other important issues, just kind of drives me crazy. I'm Karen Hartglass. Thanks for listening to It's All About Food. Join me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Email me at info@realmeals.org. And remember, have a very delicious week.